argued vehemently that I did. I didn't. See, everybody needs to be humble and accept their mistakes. So, dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the prayers that have been lifted up, and totally in agreement with that. And God, just ask you to protect those that are traveling. Thank you that they can get away. And thank you for many are, you know, taking children to college, and you know that can be an interesting event as they're making that huge step in their life. I pray you protect them. I pray you anoint this service. Just fill me with your Spirit. I speak of the Spirit and open each heart to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patient, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. And God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, these verses are really full of insight about our faith and how we can approach the insanity of the world. Now, this is really is talking about, if you will, the insanity of the world and how we approach it. And so I don't know if it's encouraging or not to you, but the time this was written, the world was crazy. Okay? It was. So he said, this is the way things are, therefore I'm going to tell you, because this is what's happening in the world. And it's not good, but we have a position there. Now, so this is good for us to take on and understand how we deal with this. And so the Lord knows exactly our position, where we are, and we should be encouraged in that, then how we should deal with this crazy world. Have you ever asked yourself, what do I do? What is this? Can't believe this is happening. What's our responsibility? Well, the people at Timothy's time were asking the same thing. Now, so I don't know what you're thinking about this is. It's like, okay, we'll have another election, and we'll get our people in, whoever our people may be, and then things will be better. Right? You know? And you can't find that in Scripture anywhere, but that's how we think, you know. And but Timothy tells us, and right here Paul tells us, he said, now I've told you this, how to handle these difficult situations, and this is why. Because in the future, it's going to get worse. That's what he said. I don't care who gets elected. I just want you to know, it's going to get worse. And it's going to continue to get worse. In fact, right after this section, when Timothy says this, this is how he follows it up. You know, it says, you must not be quarrelsome, be kind. Then he follows it up with this. In chapter 3, just following down, Chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. He goes, but understand this. Okay? It's a nice flow. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Now that tells me whatever's going on has to really undercut the family. Something has to go on to undercut the family, because these kids are going to buy into it and they'll be disobedient to their parents. Kind of like the government and the school is going to tell you how to raise your kids. And so these kids will become disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, that's the way it was back then. It's got worse. Does this sound anything like what the non-Christian world behaves now? See, it's like, why are they doing this? God, I told you This is how they act without me. You know, they're not going to get better unless they have me. You can't reform darkness. You can't reform darkness. You can't counsel the devil. See? You can't do it. So he's just telling us, I'm just telling you what's going on here. Oh, and verse 5 says this. Here in the church, this is in this whole line, he goes, a lot of them will have an appearance, a lot of them will have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Well, I'm Christian, you know, I do all this Christian, but there's no power, there's no substance, there's no reality. It's just a lot of dead words. So he fits these people in with this list, an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Then it says this, avoid such people. All right, now, are y'all in your mind busy reconciling the two statements right here? He said, just to avoid these people. No, you know. Well, this is not, by the way, this is not meant to scare us in the least, all right? I mean, it's happening now. He's just going, I'm telling you what's happening now. You know, that's right. He says it's going to get worse in the future. Oh, gosh. All right. He's just telling us the truth. It's going to happen. He's just filling us in on it. And so it's not meant to scare us. But what it is pointing to, and this is really important, and we've got to grasp hold of this, what he's telling us here is we need Jesus during these times. Now, if we think we're going to survive this and come out the way we should without Jesus, he's saying it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so we need to think of that. So he said, you need Jesus. You need Jesus to hear me do what I say to go through this darkness. And, you know, we're going to get back. And you be kind to everyone. Really. But that's what he says. And then also, we need Jesus, but also this insidious warning about people that have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. Now, how many churches you know like that? There's appearance of godliness, but there's no power. No power. No change. Nothing. See? And he goes, avoid these people. Well, they're so nuts. He goes, no, avoid. There's no power there. There's no power with them. You know, it's just nice without power doesn't get you very far with God. With God. Now, so we see this, and then these people, and what he's saying out here, he's telling us something, is these people, these talk about here in chapter 3, are these who blindly embrace the evils of this world. They blindly embrace the evils of this world. And I want you, you know, balance this as I say it. And you hear it, it's funny, you hear people say it, but there's a real movement about, you know, this whole thing about global warming and everything, and you hear these people, and it's, and my opinion, it goes way too far, all right? And you go there, and it's just destruction for the current time, just way too far, and because if you do that, you cut out fossil fuels, and the gas prices go up, you can't heat your home, so if we go too far, that's what happens. Oh, by the way, that's happening. And what the Bible says, the reason these things happen, these people come who reject Christ, and it says this, they worship the creation and not the Creator. Think about it. All these environmentalists that hold this as a passion, extremist, fanatical, no matter what, because it's a religion. And they worship the creation. It's religion. Anything for the creation. We suffer now for the creation. We hurt now for the creation. It's religion. So anything goes. You say, well, I wondered why. No, it's a passion. It's religion. See? And so if you worship God, it's okay, God, we'll hear from you. We'll work through this. We'll take it a step at a time. You will lead us, and it will work just as you see fit because you made the creation to support your people, and you're going to take care of it through your people. Two religious systems. You see what I'm saying? And the reason I'm bringing that, you just understand what's happening. Just to understand what's going on. What's going on. Why are they, if you're like me, I'm saying, well, they don't think like they're thinking. You know, they're not looking at the big picture. Yeah, they are. That's their passion. That's their religion. They'll sacrifice everything for that. Whereas, you know, I'm kind of here on the other end. I love Jesus. He's my passion. I want to sacrifice everything for him. I want to do what he says. Same thing, see? Just two different cats. People, it's funny, people, everybody worships something. They may not call it worship, but everybody worships something. Now, so what happens is these people come and do, they embrace what they believe. Okay, even if it takes you a sinful way, people that are given to a sin, they embrace what they believe. They become it. You know, you can call somebody and say, you know, this guy stole something, you know. So we call, he's a thief. He stole something. Oh, I'm sorry, you know. But he stole something. But a guy who habitually steals all the time and makes his life that way, you give him the title thief. See, it's habitual. He didn't commit a sin. That's who he is. He's not going to change. That's his title. Or you can put any other sin there. You see what I'm saying? So what he's talking about is people who blindly and embrace these things that he has just said. They blindly, because they don't have Jesus, they worship something, and they are, you know, and they give themselves to what they worship in any one of these things. And yet there are also people who are caught up into the world system, you know, but they're open to the things of God. You know, they're just trying to, they're not believers. They're just trying to make it through. They're falling for the line, you know, but they're trying to make both ends meet. And they just, you know, they don't know what to do, okay? Well, that group also is in there. And God says, you need to, they're open to the things of God. You speak. Some are. Now, so in such cases, while these people may oppose us that are just kind of living in the world system, God may supernaturally move through us to touch their hearts. You know, through us. We talk to them about the Lord, talk to them about Jesus, you know, we walk through. And we may, God may supernaturally touch them through us sharing the truth. May supernaturally touch them. But in either case, the ones that are blindly given to this are those who are just going through the world system. It is only God, and this is so important, only God can change their heart. Only God. Oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to evangelize, whatever. I'm not going to evangelize nothing. I will carry the word to speak to someone whom God has already touched. See? That's how that works, by the way. That's how that works. I have this example. I used this way back. I was at Reston Bible Church, and this guy came up. He said, I want to talk to you. And he said, I was sitting here and listening to Pastor Minner, and he went through the gospel, and this is how you believe, and stuff like that. And I said, yeah. He said, I don't know. This just drives me crazy. Now, he's in the military, so this really worked out. But he gave me four stations where he went to in the military. As you well know, if you're in the military, you move these guys around, okay? So they're going. He said, I went here, and we had this apartment right next door. These people just out of their mind in love with Jesus. He's telling us all about it all the time. And then we moved over. We went to XYZ City, and we moved and got a house there. Our next-door neighbor, these people every day asking us to go to church. Oh, nice people every day just going to church, saying the same thing as the guy in the apartment did. And then we moved over here, and there's four places. And he said, we moved here, we moved there, and I was working with this guy. And every time we go to lunch, he's telling me all about Jesus. And then we moved over here, and then my wife got in this little group, and this group, and all they talked about is Jesus. Now, they said, come to my church. I'm here at this church. And oh, Pastor, he's just talking about Jesus. It's constant. I don't understand what's going on. They're everywhere. What's going on? I said, what God is doing, he has called you and he is speaking to you. And he has spoken to you these same messages in four different places. And now he's coming here and he wants you to pray and receive Christ because you're his child and he wants you to turn to him. I prayed with him and he received Christ. See, it's like, And when he stands before heaven, he says, how'd you come to heaven? Says, well, Wallace, man, he poured it out and I got it. No, he said, I can't. He's everywhere. You witnessed to me everywhere. People were speaking to me everywhere. See, and that's how God works. Now, we don't see it. He didn't see this. He never did see it. In fact, he talked about these people like this, kind of an irritation, because they all had the same thing. So, but what we have here, so this is what we have going on, is that here's someone, a non-believer, but what happens when we have the opportunity, we speak, and we are an avenue for God to do God's work. God touched him first, then came through us and spoke to him how they touched him. You see how that works? We don't initiate. We don't. God initiates. We just obey. Eric looks at me. This guy never accept Christ. Just, you know, I don't know. I just, how do you know? How do you know? God may have touched him. Our job is not to figure out if God touched him. Our job is to be an avenue and speak what God says. And then watch in amazement what happens. Just watch in amazement what happens. By the way, that guy that accepted Christ, we had like a baptism I had him do, and he stood up and gave a testimony. He gave his testimony how he came to know the Lord. He never mentioned me. Nothing. You know, I start stand up, say, buddy. So, but the point of it is, because I wasn't the primary element, he saw it for what it was. Oh my God, God is moving through all these people. See, so you understand, you're an avenue. You're an avenue for what? God's touching people. Now, he didn't tell us, I mean, I don't know why, but he doesn't tell us who he's touching. He doesn't tell us. So, but we're responsible just to share as an avenue and then watch. Just be excited, you know? Hey, then excited. Okay. You know? At least God's not touching them down. When it does, you're going, oh my gosh. But you never take it on yourself. See, you never take it on yourself. You just spoke it and you go, oh, God really is working here. So this is kind of what this is saying here. And he's given us a warning here as he's speaking to us. He says, listen, there are going to be some bad times and it's going to be hard to deal with these people because it's not going to be a positive what's happening in the world, just like now. And then he adds, oh, and it's going to get worse. Okay? It is. It's going before the Lord. It's going to get worse. Now, so if we do this, we have this in our mind when we share with someone, oh, I'm all tight. I don't know what to say. Or he might get mad. No, we're not. He's, if God's watching, I'm just going to say a word and I'm just going to watch what happens. You know, it's kind of a fun thing. You watch what happens. See what God did. And you see, it's not on you anymore. Oh, I don't know what to say. No, you'll know what to say. You know, and you say it, and you just watch what God does. That's okay. This guy rejected God. Ooh, that's bad. You know, or then you see something move. Oh, God's moving in this guy's heart. See? And so it takes it all off of us. And if it's not, and if it's on God and not us, and we're just an avenue, what we can have in all of this craziness, we know God's in control of it, we can have peace of mind in this insanity. How many of you watch television and just want to pull your hair out? And just, oh, my God, that's no peace of mind there. Okay, God, you're going to have to do something. You know, you're going to have to do something. This whole thing's coming. And I'm just, what? I'm really in anticipation because something's got to break. You know, something's got to happen. So there's an excitement. There's an excitement. And when you're talking to other people, they're going nuts, by the way. You know, are you just out? No, I'm not. Why not? Why? God's going to move and he's going to take care of this. How do you know? Because then you share the gospel. See, it's just an open door. And your open door is peace of mind in this situation. See? I mean, if it was just things will happen, then you'll feel better. He wouldn't have ended with, well, I'm just going to think it's going to get worse. He'd say, no, it's getting better. You share, it'll get better and better. Oh, boy. He said, no, it's going to get worse. So you just be at peace of mind now because I told you beforehand, I've sifted it through my hand, and it's going to get worse. You have peace. Let me flow through you and just watch what I do. See, all of a sudden, peace of mind. It's peace of mind. And you know what's peace of mind? I don't have anything to do with me, you know. It's just being obedient to what God says and watching God work. Watching God work. And so this is what he's trying to tell Timothy. And like I said, Paul knows he's going to be executed, and no, Timothy is here by himself. So he's trying to encourage Timothy. Come on, Timothy, you can do this. You can do this. And it's going to get worse, but you can do this. See? So that's kind of where the whole story comes from here. Now, so as we continue to look at this, what I want to do is, going back to 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, I want to go through those verses, and I want to kind of break them apart and look at what God is telling us to do. Because what he's telling us to do is how to have a peace of mind. How to be at ease. This is what he's doing. This, if you do this, you'll be at ease. If you do this, I'll work and you'll be at ease. See? You don't have to be, oh, gosh, I got to talk to them. I talked to them. They didn't like, they don't like me. Oh, my God. No, it's not that. We're just releasing God. And then we're like, well, let's just see what happens. See what happens. And there's a peace of mind. And we could kind of be excited about it, too. So let's just look at these verses and pay attention to it for each one of us that we can have peace of mind. Amen? In these times. Because the times are here to stay. Oh, I'm glad when all this changes. And we no, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You need to have peace of mind now so you can have peace of mind in the future. And so he's telling us how to do it. Okay, number one, and what I put here, and it's important to how he starts this. And in this upside down world, okay, this upside down is upside down then, it's upside down now. God speaks to the Lord's servant. That's what that verse says. The word came to the Lord's servant. He didn't speak to the attorney general. He didn't speak to the president. He spoke to the Lord's servant. I love where it says, I think it's in Luke, and it lays out, and I'm kind of a history, I really love reading about the Roman Empire and stuff and how powerful, what lists off, you know, like the Caesars, Augustus Caesar and everybody, you know, and says, and so it goes in and says, and here you have the Caesars, and like, and then, but it goes on down and says, and God spoke to John. I mean, you got Augustus Caesar, he runs the whole stinking world. I mean, all the known world, from Spain all the way to Iran, they had it. He didn't say nothing to him. Nothing. He spoke to John. And John, it says he wore, you know, a leather skin, excuse me, cape and what have you, and in the desert, and he would just eat grasshoppers and what have you, and everybody came to listen to him. That's who he spoke to. He is the Lord's servant. So he is the Lord's servant. He's God speaks to the Lord's servant. Oh, he's going to speak to Billy Graham. Well, yeah, but he's not the only one. He's not the only one. He's going to speak. We are the Lord's servant. And what that word servant is, which is so fascinating, which actually means slave. I mean, it really does just mean slave in very different ways it was used. But it came to mean, as a slave, it came to mean one who gives themselves up, one who gives their will up to another. That's a slave. You give your will up to another. And this is the Lord's slave. He gave his will up to Jesus. I don't have a will. I've given my will up to Jesus, and I just do what the Lord says. I said, good. Now, I'm going to speak to you because you've given your will up to me, and I'm going to speak to you about what I'm doing, and I'm going to empower you to be an avenue of what I'm doing. So it's really, and you all are the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant, see? Fascinating. So number one, that's it. We are all the Lord's servant. We are ones who gives ourselves up to the will of Jesus. All right, Jesus, what are you saying? Or individual. Okay, now number two, and this is the title of the message, it says, do not be quarrelsome. Do not be quarrelsome. I wish I understood this a long time ago. But anyway, better late than never. All right. A Lord's servant must not be, now there's attached here, we need to make the connection. As the Lord's servant, we must not be quarrelsome and be kind to everyone. Okay, I'm not going to ask for a hand raise. Who does that? You know, I don't do that. I mean, it's like, let me tell you the truth. And you listen. I don't care what you have to say. This is the truth, you know. I'm not going to argue with you because you're wrong. Anyway, none of that really, you know, first serves as a good avenue for Christ. Okay. Not that I ever did that recently. But anyway, so as the Lord's servant, we must not be quarrelsome, being kind to everyone. See, we always stand for the truth. But to be useful to Jesus, we must not quarrel. See, if we think we get our point across, we drive it down, you know, we get it, now we're useful for Jesus. He said, no, if you're useful to Jesus, you don't quarrel. And you're kind. You don't quarrel. See, we quarrel. You should write this down like that. We only quarrel, get upset, and are too passionate because we erroneously think that our own efforts will change somebody's mind. Right? I just shake and share it. Don't you see the truth? Shake them and share, you know, get, you know, so involved in it, upset, because it's me sharing and I have to convince them. Everything's on me. See, that's an error. I don't bring anybody to repentance. No one. God is the only one that brings people to repentance. So I want to, if I had any sense, I'd want to engage him. And he says to engage him, we need to be not quarreling but kind. And when we're not quarreling but kind, then we engage God who's working through us that flows through to touch the person he's already touched before. And he can flow through us better. He can flow through me better if I'm not quarreling. And if I'm kind, I'm not quarreling. And I'm kind. And then he can move freely through me to communicate to someone whom he has already touched. Does that make sense? And it's like, oh, Wallace just got kinder all of a sudden. You know, just a big heart. And it's like, no. What I figured out is like, I need to be kind so that God can move through me and touch. And I can, and I don't mess it up. If I get passionate, if I get mad, if I get quarrelsome, I mess up what God's doing. He said, if you want to cooperate, don't quit that. Be kind. That gives me room to work. And so we see here that we must remember that we are only avenues through God's work. We're only avenue. I mean, I think up all sorts of silly things that, you know, try to communicate that. And they say, if I had a hand grenade, you know, and you throw in that, it's going to blow up the enemy, you know. Okay, so I pull it. All I got to do is pull the pin and just pitch it and watch, whoo, you know. But what I do, I pull the pin, throw it, and go, kill them all, blow it up, now, come, get the band, you know. And it's like, what is he doing? That's all about me. If I really believed I had the power when I pulled the pin and threw it, I'd just, ooh, this ain't going to be good. You see what? Bad example, but still, it communicates what he's trying to tell us here. And it all depends on what? Who we believe and what we believe about him. It all comes down to that. It's all that. And so this is why I say, don't be quarrelsome. Don't be quarrelsome, all right? And be kind to everybody. Now, here's the third one. The third one in this, and it's like be able to teach. So Jesus changes minds. Jesus changes minds. Now, we've already seen that. He changes mind. No matter what you say, he changes mind. But he says still here, we still need to be able to teach. To teach. I don't know why you believe that. Well, you need to be able to tell them. Why? You need to be able to teach. You say, oh, my God, I don't know anything. I don't know this, that. And, oh, he's so much smarter than I. If he's that much smarter than you, he wouldn't be asking you this, right? And what you're teaching, you teach what you know. What you know. I mean, before somebody asked me something, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. This one guy, I was at this party one time, and so it's funny how people's attitude towards you changes when you say, I'm a pastor. It just changes. And this guy was, he was a nice, seemed like educated, nice fellow, you know, was in interacting. And so he asked me what I did. And I said, pastor. He says, oh, he says, you know what I believe? I said, I didn't say, I don't care what, no, I didn't say it. Be kind. But he said, I believe, and he's, that was interesting, he said, I believe Jesus came, you know, he said he came, he was born, but actually he came before that, and he went to China, and he's the one who spoke to Buddha and gave Buddha all the information where they started Buddhism, like that, and then he went someplace else, and, you know, shared that. And so I do believe in Jesus, and, you know, that he started all these religions. And you're going, kindness, kindness, kindness. Like, don't quarrel. And he says, what do you think about that? I said, well, that's an interesting thought. Like that. And I said, here's what I believe. Okay, hit it. You know, I didn't address Buddha or whoever else and whoever. I didn't address those. You know, I said, but I addressed what I knew. And I addressed the facts that I knew. And I addressed that I was forgiven. And I have eternal home in heaven. He said, well, that's interesting. I said, yeah, it is. And that's what Jesus believed. And I did say this. Do you think Buddha believed that? I mean, that's what he believed. Do you think? I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is there's no sense to be quarrelsome or irritated stuff is you just like, all right, God, I don't know what's going on here. Be able to teach. Be able to teach what? What you know. I don't know anything about Buddha. You know, I didn't try to touch Buddha, okay? But I knew what I knew, and I shared the basics, what I knew. And what I just shared, all of y'all know. All of y'all know that. See, you need to be able to teach now. If they ask something else, you may know that. Well, I've actually studied this thing. Here's a few things. But you always start with the gospel. Don't get off there because you'll be off, you know, having a fight with her. What Buddha was doing, you know, and it wouldn't done make any difference what Buddha was doing, okay? But you always bring. So what I'm saying in that situation, I was able to teach by saying that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins and have a home in heaven. Period. Period. Well, I don't know. I believe this. Period. Period. So what I'm saying, when it says be able to teach, that's why be able to teach what you know. If there's something you don't say, I don't know about that, but let me tell you what I do know. Jesus paid the penalty for my sins, and I am forgiven. See, you can just bounce back. Just bounce back. See? So people like that try to control the argument or like that. Well, you just, okay, but then you just bounce back, and we have the truth. Who knows? This guy, maybe, you know, when I shared what I shared, he said, maybe God had touched him before. Maybe he says, you know, I don't know if that Buddha stuff's all it cracked up to be. I might need to look into that. I don't know. I have any idea. I never saw this guy again. But so when everybody needs to be able to teach, meaning that don't argue and you're kind, but you share when you have the opportunity. Share what you know. Don't talk about all the stuff out here, all the different theologies. So, you know, why? You know, don't. You just talk about Christ. He paid the penalty for your sin. Forgiven, changed me. So you pull the conversation back into what you know. Now, see, this is helpful because this is what Paul's telling Timothy. Timothy, I'm out of here. You know, this is not going to end well for me. I'm going to be with the Lord. But this is you, and you need to be able to pull this. So he's telling Timothy the same thing. You don't have to worry about me going, because you've got all you need. And I could say to all y'all, you got all you need. All you need. But you need a little confidence and don't be afraid about what's happening. I mean, this whole spiritual dynamics going on all around you. So you just said, well, this is going to be interesting to watch to see how this unfolds. I mean, isn't that different attitude? Wow. Okay, so here's this. You need to be able to teach. Feel secure in what you know. How many of you just totally, how many of you just absolutely totally secure in your salvation? See? That's what you know. Share it. That's all you need to share. Now, you can go out from that as long as they don't take you on these rabbit trails, but you always come back there because that's the basis. And if they don't have that basis, they'll never understand. Never understand. They come back to basis, and they get by into the basis you have. Then if they accept that, then everything, then they have a capacity to understand. You see? All right. So now also is we have, and I believe you're able to teach, I really believe at Broadlands Community Church, okay, we teach the word. We teach the word, absolutely. And so we should feel secure in the word based on the Bible we hear, so we should just be secure of that. But as you know, and I've said it, but I won't restate it again, importantly, and we've spent a lot of time, and I've shared a lot of different times, is that we need the wisdom how to always bring them back and bring the conversation back to Christ. That's what you got to do. You got to bring it back to Christ. Back to Christ. So that's a huge point in any discussion. I shouldn't say, or in a discussion. Well, this. Well, I don't know. He said this, and he said this, and this church said this. Well, I don't know. I believe the Bible says Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. I am forgiven. Have a home in heaven. Well, tell me about that. All right, you can go all day on that one because you got that one down. Now, there's other things, but don't get stuck out there. Once they grab this piece, then you can go to other things. The other things don't bring people to Christ. Christ brings people to Christ. Then you can build out on that and give an explanation. And they ask you something you don't know, say, let me check on that. Right? Don't be afraid. I don't know. I just know I'm going to heaven. That's a good start. Okay, so there we have the be able to teach. So here we are, okay, not quarrelsome, being kind and able to teach. We say what we know. And don't be fooled. A lot of times you'll be around Christians or so-called, you know, they claim Christ or what, and you'll see them go this way, that. Don't join them. I mean, if they won't go, that's fine. Maybe the Lord's using a different one. But you go on what you have. What do you think about XYZ pastor? And he said this, and that. Well, I don't know him. You know, God bless him. But this is what I believe. You know, what does he believe? Well, I don't know. I never talked to him. He ought to. But this is what I believe. You see what I'm saying? You bring it back. Don't get out there, and you won't be caught up in all these foolish arguments. Now, it goes, the next thing he says here, see how he's trying to make us get comfortable, and he says, patiently enduring all this with peace. Patiently enduring evil with peace. I mean, it's like, you just, what do you mean? But now you see how this unfolded. He unfolded all this, that we know Jesus is touching, Jesus saves, and so he's saying it, but there's going to be evil around you. It's going to be evil. And what he says here, we know that everything is sifted through God's hands. Therefore, we endure evil. Because it says here, endure evil. Patiently enduring evil. Not endure evil. Patiently enduring evil. We know God will move in his time. Therefore, we can tolerate the present evil situation. And this is where we get messed up on. Patiently endure evil. And I made the comment because we know God sifts everything through his fingers. And some of you go, I don't know about that. Well, if you don't know about that, then it's hard to patiently endure evil. Because we don't think God's got it. We don't think God's got it. He sifts most things through his fingers, but not this one. He doesn't even know this is happening. You know, somebody needs to tell him. You know, he has every situation you're in, every impossible situation you're in, God has sifted through his finger. And you go, but wait a minute, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. I don't think things are right. This is nothing Christian about that. Therefore, let me help him. We don't believe it sifted through his hands. You see? We rationalize that we can help God out. Anybody ever done that? I mean, that's my life's been made of that. You know, helping God out. Can't ever think of one time it's ever worked. Ever, you know. But me being persistent, I will continue to try and help him out. You know. And so it's like, okay, you now you start, I thank you. So whatever situation you're in, God has sifted through his fingers. And not only is he working with you, he's working about everyone around you, the whole community, and maybe even the whole world. So wait a minute. So you don't even have a clue. You can't see everything that's going on. So what we do, we patiently endure evil because we trust in God and we can be calm because we know he's going to work and we're watching in anticipation in this mess and we're persevering because our belief is not the situation. Our belief is in God. He is sovereign and he's moving. Amen. That's why, that's how. People say, endure evil. Just try, you know, read a self-help book. Do something. Exercise. No. Believe God's got it. Okay? And you don't know what that means. You don't know what all the dominoes, you know, coming together, what that means. Do you ever see this? I was watching this. I don't know what it seems like. It always Japanese that do this. Although maybe I was just saying. But they set up dominoes. First of all, I can't imagine having that much time. But they'll set up dominoes. And like they have a room this big. And they'll set these dominoes up. And I showed this one guy. And so he sits there and he goes, bing. And these dominoes go, you know. I mean, forever. Forever. And it just stopped. And this thing shows a bicycle with all its spokes. I think, again, this guy's got more time than I do. But that's amazing. How do you, but see, in a sense, that's what God does. He says, all these dominoes set up. He says, okay, I got it. Work it. And he pushes that one. And then all start falling down. And when you're the third domino in, boom, I had nothing but a mess, and it's going on for a long time. I see nothing but more messes. And at one time, you look, there's a bicycle. Like that. In a sense, we have to look. That's what God's doing. We endure evil because he's doing something. We patiently, he's got this. He has got this. And that's what we need to understand. Thus, we can tolerate evil situations because God loves us, he's got us, he's protecting us, and he's teaching us, and we are be his example as we stand under evil. Oh, by the way, we're not quarreling, we're kind, we're able to teach. You know, it's like, we're enduring this evil. But also this means, if you look at this, we are to correct others, but we do so without getting heated in our response. In our response. Have you ever, Linda's not here. She, I can interact with somebody and you look over at her and she's going, down, down, you know, down, down. I'm just getting my point across. Down. See, and, but that because it's me, if I fail, you know, to put forth everything in it, you know, I failed what God's called me to do. And God said, no, that's not at all. You know, it's diligent, you know, patient. You see me working. Be excited when you see me working. And after a while, you may see something besides one domino. You may see the whole bicycle that filled the room, but you're going to have to wait for it. And you don't have a clue about the rest of it. Now, so, and here this flows right in with number five here. And these verses. So we patiently endure evil, correcting our opponents with gentleness. We are gentle because we believe that when God's word is spoken, it doesn't come back void. We're gentle. God's word is spoken. Doesn't come, and the Bible says it doesn't come back void. We say it doesn't come back void. And so correcting our opponent with gentleness. And we're gentle because we're just watching what God does. And we're totally convinced that God is doing something. Therefore, we can be gentle. It's not us. It is God. Now, what we have here, so this, correcting our opponents with gentleness. That doesn't, that means you don't have to out-shout your opponent. Now, so humanly speaking, and this is where I'm going to make a big point here, humanly speaking, many would see this as a very restrained and unproductive approach towards our opponents. But in fact, this restrained approach unleashes the supernatural power of God. Now see how opposite the way God works. You know, he says, call upon him, look to me, you know, be filled with the Spirit, listen, do what I say, you know. And so in human living, we don't look at that as productive. It's not productive. We're not doing something to make it happen. And it's like, it's not going to happen unless you do it. You take the bull by the horns. And again, if you have a job description and you're supposed to work hard, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about these situations where, you know, where these difficult things we can't handle or anything. It looks like the world's totally out of control. And from our viewpoint, it is. And so this is totally unproductive. This is a, you know, we need, and this is where the opposite side does it. Don't believe in God, you know, let's go burn something down. You know, they all know we've been there. God goes, don't do that. You don't do that. You don't have to do that. That'll undo everything I'm trying to do. Everything I am trying to do. You do this with gentleness and kindness and not quarrel, and you make an avenue for me to work, I will accomplish it. See? So we have to step out of that picture and let God flow through, able to teach something God's touch and see what he does, and we're in amazement what he does. But see how that's a belief system. That's a belief system. That really means you believe God is there doing something. That's a belief system. And so this leads down. So we have all this information, and this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, all to this point. And he tells it to this point, all right, to this point. Now he drives home. This is why. Now, I mean, I've been sharing all this with you, but now at this point, Paul says, this is why you do it, Timothy. You do it gentle, don't quarrel. You know, this is why you do it. Number six. That God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. We do that. So God may grant them repentance. Do you know how much we are out of that sentence? Do you realize how much we are out of that sentence? We're not. We're just supposed to be an avenue, and then we're out of the sentence, and then we watch it. See, now, but we won't step back into that sentence and not be gentle and quarrel, get our point across, and be a commando for Jesus. See? But he said, no, you know, if you do that, you're totally trusted in me, and your gentleness is not quarrelsome because you see me. You see me. It's like I said before, bad illustration. I threw the grenade, and I pushed it, threw it down at the wall, and I just watch. Oh, boy. He's saying the same, no, you do that, and then you watch. And then God may, he will move into that. God may, all right? So he's telling us why to grant repentance. Now look how this talks about. As the Lord's servant, what does the Lord's servant do? He submits to the will of Christ. That's why he's called the Lord's slave. So as the Lord's slave, as an instrument in God's hands, this is why we behave in this seemingly restrained manner. The world says, you're just in the same, nothing bothers you, you're not taking anything serious, you need to go up and protest, you need to tear something down. But this restrained manner, you know, but we see there's power in this restrained manner because we're releasing Christ. We're releasing Christ, and we're trying not to get in the way of Christ. Trying not to get in the way of Christ. So it's not really that restrained. But in fact, this restrained approach unleashes the supernatural power of God. That's how you release it. Now, So we realize that we serve as an avenue through which God may move with power to grant repentance. And here's the thing, repentance, we have a old Christian misinterpretation of repentance. What repentant means is to turn. Every time you see repentance, just go, to turn, you know. I mean, people see repentance, you know, I get up here and I'll preach, get all sweaty, or wipe my brow and go, repent! You know, that's not what that is. It just means turn. So we're saying perhaps God will get them to turn. That's what, perhaps God will get them to turn. So that's what that means. We want our avenues, share God's word. We step back so God will get them to turn. We correct in gentleness so God may grant people the ability to turn. Not we beat them over the head till they are convinced and bow down to us and turn. But no, we become an avenue of God in which he touches them and gives them the ability to turn and have a changed heart, bringing people to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Amen? That's it. God's in it. It's in it all over, and that's the point he's made. We have to understand that it's God who brings repentance, not us. But he's working powerfully if we'll get with his program and release him in the situation. Now, hopefully you're feeling a little more secure. Calmer already. You're calm. We're just an avenue. I'm calm. All right, this is going to be fun. I am calm. He's got everything under control. He's working it. Because the power comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from us. And I'm going to just add here, be cautious of people who present themselves like the power is coming from them. Be careful with them, all right? Because they're taking it off of Christ, and they're taking it. Be very, very, and they may say a lot of good things, but anytime that it's put something forth that coming from them has a demonic undertone to that. Just be cautious of that. So our confidence is that God moves. Amen? Our confidence is that God moves. Now, moves and does what? Last point. That he moves and does what? That they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, a lot of theology in this thing right here. There's a lot of theology going. I mean, it's like my Buddhist buddy, you know. It's Buddha, you know. It's like here, and Jesus preached to Buddha and like that. And you're going, well, I'm just praying you'll come to your senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him. See, that's where that guy was. That's where that was. Now, what am I supposed to do? Shake him by the collar? You're caught by the devil. No, I'm nice to him. Able to teach and share with him. But read this. This is fascinating. I'm going to read one more time. That they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Number one thing we need to know when we're talking to these folks, that Satan is in the middle of it. He's all over. Well, I don't believe the devil does that much, and it's just that. No, he does more than you think. And if they're talking to you, he's in the middle of it. Like if I just have the gospel and that's all, he fears me. Satan fears me. If I don't know anything but the God, he fears me because he knows that's the basis of truth. So anytime I talk to someone, he's all over that. He's all there. One of his dominions are all over. And that's what this verse, read it, what it literally says. Come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. The snare. Look at the world. Look, they're in the snare of the devil. What does it say in 1 John? The whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's what it says. The whole world is under the control of the evil. Therefore, they're going to act evil. And the ones who embrace that are going to act more evil than others. See? And so he's telling us how to do, and this is what these people, and we need to realize that this is what's going on here when we talk to people. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't out-argue the devil. You can't out-argue the devil. But you claim Christ, and he flees. He flees. Christ paid the penalty for my sin. He said he was defeated by that. We just claim it, please. Now, so let's look at this. Important. So it's only through God. Now, the previous sentence said, it's only through God, right? That's what he said. It's only through God. Why? Because it's only through God that they can escape the snare of the devil. We can't get someone out of the snare of the devil as a human being. It takes Christ to pull someone out of the snare of the devil. Therefore, we have to call upon and rely on and speak things, the words of Christ, to deal with those who Satan has blinded. And, oh, that's just too, no, that's the world. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. We are the children of God. And so, and what's interesting, this kind of made me laugh, but this word, this come through their senses and escape, that's one word. You know, you talk about translation word for word. And they just came to this one and said, this is not going to work. Oh, we got to get another word here. And so this is one word, come to their senses and escape. And what it literally means, it means return to soberness. All these people are blind drunk. I mean, think about it. They're all blind drunk. You talk to them so they can return to some soberness. Why don't they understand? They don't, nothing. Why? Blind drunk. I had it blind. It just said they need to return to soberness or come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. So, this means that these people were previously intoxicated by evil influences. They're intoxicated by evil. You see what? Doesn't that drive home to what's happening around us? They were intoxicated by evil influences. You know, they're kind of, you lose all reason. They've lost all reason. They're drunk on evil influences. Now, it also says, and this is another kind of fascinating word, and so from the snare of the devil after being captured by him. Now, this word capture, which is interesting, it means to catch alive. It means literally to catch alive. Satan wants to catch folks alive, then confuse them, and then use them. Catch them alive, then confuse them, then use them. See, everything, well, devil did that. No, he has caught somebody, confused them, and then he'll use them. They don't even know it. They do not even know it, and they're intoxicated with this false doctrine of whatever it may mean. So this means that the snare of the devil captures people alive to do his will. If you ever wondered how the devil works, you know, the devil is not omnipresent, okay? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're omnipresent. Devil's not. One guy, one place, all right, and all his dominions. Well, how does he get all this thing done? He captures all these people alive, and then he intoxicates them with this teaching and turns them loose. See? So he got those people intoxicated with the things of the devil. But it means catch alive. So what we have here is the devil is portrayed in a double role. He is both the intoxicator and the captivator of the mind. Of the mind. Now, this ought to explain you, how do these people think like this? How? Because the devil is the intoxicator and the captivator of the mind, and they speak demonic things. Amen? How many of you, some of this stuff, you're going to say, how do you might believe this? How many believe? This is how. This is how they believe it. This is how they believe it. And there's one person who is behind it. See, this is the reason we shouldn't quarrel and should be gentle. We need to know who we're talking to. No good shouting at Satan. But being gentle, cooperating with God as he touches and he convinces, and we cooperate with him through the Holy Spirit working through us. So here we are. So brothers and sisters, we have come to our senses. Hallelujah. Amen. We have come to our senses and escaped the snare of the devil. We're not drunk. We're sober. We're not in the dark. We're in the light. We are alert, and we watch the work of God flowing through us. Therefore, there's no need to quarrel. There's no need. I mean, we win. I mean, we got all the tools. We got all the armaments. And no sense getting upset. We win. Don't lose by getting upset and bringing it on yourself like you got to beat it in someone. No, you stand strong with all the equipment, gently speaking the truth, and watch God move. Watch God move in every situation. In Ephesians 5:8, there's no overhead here. It says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We walk as children alike. We walk like we're sober. We walk like we're sober. We don't need to quarrel. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He just spoke the light in us. We're light. So just let the light work. Amen? Now this is good. I mean, this speaks to this world. This speaks to it. But we got more equipment in this world. You know, well, I don't know if I can, this is happening here, and this, I can't have an impact. You have an impact someplace. Where are you? You have an impact. And God says, yeah, I've given you an impact where you are. I got all the other dominoes too. See, we're that big bicycle, you know, spokes and everything, and we're that one domino. Nothing's happening. He goes, oh, yeah. I got a bunch of dominoes going, but I need you to go over and knock over the next one. And I'll take the rest. See, that's how I'll take care of the rest. Where we are, we have an impact, and we need to stand for Christ and all his power and just say, and just watch and be excited and don't get upset. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I mean, how convicting this is to me, and just to be solely focused on you and knowing you have this control. Don't have to be upset. Just look in amazement what you're doing. Hear what you say. Be obedient to what you say. And Lord, know that you're powerfully working. We are special in your eyes. You love us dearly, and you have given us everything you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So there may be some refreshments. Stand up.